Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Results are as such. There was one vote cast for Newt Gingrich. There was two votes cast for John Huntsman. There was one vote cast for Ron Paul. And there were
voting
two
in the New Hampshire primary began at midnight. The result, two votes apiece for former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney and former Utah Governor John Huntsman. Elsewhere across the state, the polls are open for another 4 or 5 hours or so.
And Anthony, yesterday it seemed as if election excitement was reaching a fever pitch. How's it up there today?
Well, not surprisingly, much quieter today. Most of the candidates are out of sight. Of course, they'll emerge in just a few hours. Ron Paul was out and about and predicted that he'd finish second, thanks to younger voters and independent voters. And with regard to that Dixville notch vote, John Huntsman said it might be a harbinger of things to come. We'll see about that.
Well, the Huntsman story is one of the ones that could be a big question that'll be answered tonight. The other one, Mitt Romney, and will he get the big decisive victory that he's looking for? What does it look like?
Yeah, of course, that's the big question. And joining us now to talk about that and some of the other big storylines that have emerged in the final hours of this campaign is Ron Elving. He's NPR's Washington editor. He's here in Manchester helping to direct NPR's primary coverage. And Ron, great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Good to be with you, Anthony.
So first of all, Mitt Romney has arguably run, in many ways, a flawless campaign, seeming to sort of cruise above the muck at 40,000 feet until just recently. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich attacking him on his record at Bain Capital about killing jobs. And then, remarkably, Romney seemed to extend the narrative with this comment about health insurers just yesterday.
If you don't like what they do, you can fire them. I like being able to fire people who provide services to me.
So there it is, Ron. What do you make of this and the significance of this moment, this attack from Gingrich? What's it going to do?
Clouds on Mount Romney at the last moment. I've compared him to Mount Washington in the way that he looms over the landscape, certainly in terms of this primary, not in 2008 quite so much. But this time, the field has more or less been cleared of people who could beat him up here. And he was dominating and has been dominating. And I expect tonight he will still dominate the results. But just at the final moment when this kind of desperate attack was being made on him by Newt Gingrich, and made very effectively, I might add, really putting it to the front runner about the performance of Bain Capital back over the years, just at that moment, a statement that was meant in a completely different way, in a totally different context,
right,
rang with the significance that it had with respect to the Gingrich attack about Bain Capital. I like being able to fire people. Not the kind of thing you want to be saying if you're Mitt Romney. So in the last hours, in the coverage, in the discussion, in the conversation that you see on television, you hear on the radio, you see in the newspapers, and perhaps you're hearing out on the street here in New Hampshire where everyone's a little bit obsessed with this primary, in that last moment, Mitt Romney made his biggest misstep of the entire campaign. But will that really make a difference when the Suffolk University tracking poll shows that he's actually gotten a little stronger in the last 24, 36 hours? Probably not.
Mm. Doesn't this eventually, though, I mean, Newt Gingrich was interviewed by Bloomberg today. He was hitting this point. He's talking about a documentary about Romney killing jobs at Bain. Doesn't this eventually hand the Democrats a big club to use against Romney should he eventually win the nomination?
It certainly would seem so. And in fact, I would expect that it will be a much bigger issue when we get down to South Carolina in the next few days. They are voting a week from Saturday on the 21st. And then in the state of Florida, which votes on January 31st. And when we get into those TV markets, I suspect we're going to see this videotape of Romney saying these fateful words again and again. And I think it will hurt him in those venues, maybe more than it will here in New Hampshire, where he's so much better known and where this is such a last-minute event. Then, as you suggest, in the fall, I would be enormously surprised if the Democrats weren't already, and had not been already before yesterday, really getting loaded for bear on the question of how Bain Capital derived enormous profits from companies that were later bankrupt and that later laid off a lot of employees.
Well, let's talk about the other big stories that could emerge from the results as they're revealed later tonight. As we mentioned, as Meghna and I were talking about a moment ago, Mitt Romney, likely winner, but with a smaller than expected margin. If that were to happen, that would be a big story. What's your view on that?
anything under a 10-point margin is going to make him look as though somehow he squandered an enormous lead, because in the polls, and we're looking here not just at the Suffolk University poll, but the WMUR poll, the University of New Hampshire poll, and the best other polling that's been done, he has been anywhere from 15 to 25 points ahead, consistently back for several weeks, and no one has really made a run at him. And even though for a period of time he seemed to be losing a couple of points a day there for 5 days and kind of dropping down from the 40s into the 30s, no one of his rivals was benefiting. Nobody was making a move on the man. So even if he were to slide down under 40%, which is a good likelihood tonight, even if he's somewhere in the 30s, as long as none of his rivals, none of his challengers, comes within 10 points of him, it's still going to look like a pretty solid win. South of 10 points, you're going to hear people saying, weakness.
North of 10 points, he can claim bragging rights to being the only Republican, in a long time, to win Iowa and New Hampshire.
Well, no non-incumbent Republican, no Republican who is not already president, has won Iowa and New Hampshire since we've had Iowa and New Hampshire.
Finally, Ron, and quickly, later in the show, we're going to be talking about the history of the New Hampshire primary. And I want to ask you just one question about that. You've seen this primary change over the years. It's different this year, arguably less important, arguably because of the Romney favorite son factor, but also the primary calendar, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I think that's the main factor. That used to be March, you know, and then it was February. Kept getting moved, because other states kept getting in, horning in, really, on New Hampshire's act. Iowa did it. Then it was South Carolina. Now we've got Florida. Other states that want to move up their primaries and get in on the action. So that's really what's made the difference. The candidates used to spend January, February here, practically living
that's
in the
right.
state.
Yeah.
And it made it tremendously important, so that even when somebody would win, but win without enough of a showing, for instance, LBJ in 1968, for that matter, George H.W. Bush in 1992, they both won as incumbent presidents, but did so poorly relative to challengers that weren't taken that seriously, Gene McCarthy, Pat Buchanan, that that it really seriously weakened them as candidates. LBJ actually dropped out some number of weeks later, and in the end, George H.W. Bush was a one-term president, and we first saw how weak he really was that year in the New Hampshire primary. So that kind of thing is a little harder to do if you move it all the way up to the week after the football bowl games. In fact, we just had the last football bowl game last night, and that crowds the media attention. We've got Iowa caucuses into the mix, and that keeps the candidates away for a long time. Plus, South Carolina coming up so soon, these candidates have already been dividing their time all over the map.
All right, that's Ron Elving. He's NPR's Washington editor. He's here in Manchester directing NPR's New Hampshire primary coverage. Ron, thanks so much for coming in. Always a pleasure.
Good to be with you.
Well, you just heard NPR's Ron Elving say that New Hampshire isn't as important as it once was, so we'll take an even bigger look and ask, why have this kind of primary system at all? That's up next. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.